And you're going to hear these silver anniversary roundtables all year long because, as you may know, back in January, the ticket turned 25 years old. Big celebration at TicketStock, and we're going to keep the celebration going all of 2019. So we had the P1s vote on their 25 favorite moments in ticket history. And the moment that we're going to talk about today finished number 5 in the voting. So it's a top 5 favorite moment in ticket history. And I have to say that of all of the interviews that all of the shows have done in 25 years, I found this reaction from this guest to be the strangest reaction. And we're going to take a couple of segments and try to dissect this, because to this day, I still can't figure out what Lee Corso was thinking when he was interviewed by Bad Radio. And Bob and Dan join us in studio right now.
Whoa,
hi, guys.
Oh, this is non-disclosure.
Yes.
Look at this.
You guys didn't tell us y'all were in studio right now.
Morning.
I love your show. I really love your show. And to be in here is a tremendous honor.
Do you like our information?
I love it all. I was just listening to you guys on the way in, and I really hope you don't mind signing a little something.
No, no. Let's do that here in a little bit.
Thank you.
I thought you could have managed the clock a bit better.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Sitting there wishing I had a break, but
this work is in the progress. Earliest you've ever been on the ticket.
Well, I've filled in.
I guess you have done the morning show
before.
A couple times.
White Elephant
show.
Day.
And White Elephant, yeah.
Jubb, I thought you could help me settle this bet.
Uh-oh.
I have with some of the boys at the Optimist Club last night at our meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Can a bagel sandwich... toasted with egg white, tomato, and cream cheese. Do you think that could be delivered to 3090 Olive Street?
Well, no.
That was just a bet.
Because it's never happened before.
Oh,
because
I thought it could. So you say no, that couldn't happen.
No, that couldn't happen. And I don't know, a dozen breakfast tacos couldn't be done either, because I don't think that's ever happened without a thin.
I would probably agree with you. There's no way a dozen breakfast tacos could be.
Right.
Could so $1,000
with a couple of them meat free.
So I don't think the meat free bagel thing could happen either. That's okay. Just me.
That's a very specific
bagel. A lot of people
bagel.
Have been talking about
but
it.
But I'm
a lot
glad
of people
that you
debating.
Went to the Optimist Club last night.
A lot of people.
That's good to hear.
I'm trying to become involved in the community.
Okay. So we have played this, and this has been played a ton on the station, either through drops or the interview at its entirety. But this show has been very fascinated with your moment that you had for Lee Corso. And I was shocked when I was talking to Bob yesterday, because if you had to guess what year this was, what would your guess have been before we really started talking about it the last 24 hours?
I would say this was like at least 10, probably 15 years ago.
Man, I would say 8 years ago.
That's kind of what I thought, 8, 10 years ago. Bob, this was...
I have it as 2002.
Wow.
Yeah. Mackerel.
Yeah, I have
going
this
on
is
17 years
yeah.
ago.
This is
so
very
close.
This is very early Bad Radio. This is Insecure. We're probably not getting renewed Bad Radio.
Okay, I'm glad it's 02 because I was listening last night and I had a couple things I found it on. It said it was 2005 and I thought, we've been together 6 years and we still sound like this?
No. This is
all right,
this
it was
is
only a couple years.
This
now.
Is well earlier than that.
So what do you hear different in yourselves? When you listen to it,
I think there's a little less sheer terror when I do radio now. And I think back then, whether it was this or whether it was Jay Moore or anything, I was just always concerned about the eternal ramifications of what's going on right now and how this is probably going to lead to a pack your stuff and get out of here moment, you know?
Dang. Well,
I think,
horrible,
right?
A horrible feeling.
It is, but I mean...
I know what you mean.
Being terrified of... And most of this was Dan, but I think when I hear it, I hear me freaking out the entire time. And it just reminds me of a place where mentally... Let's just put it this way. I'm lucky I wasn't on Twitter back then, because that would have ruined me, starting at the ticket with Twitter existing.
With immediate feedback of how bad you were.
Yes.
So although this one seems to totally be on Lee Corso, I mean, it's 100% Lee Corso being just weird. You guys, does this have a lot of negative feelings surrounding it the way that, like, the moron dog involved a fight between the two of you guys, so I can understand how that one feels weird.
But. I think Dan did so perfectly in this, to be honest with you, and I just thought that from my standpoint, I lit a lot of I let a lot of gold get by, and I got in the way. And I don't want to get in the way when he is killing it. And he was killing it, and I got in the way, and I made it worse.
So when you listen to this, you just hear a radio host destroyed.
I hear one, and I hear the other guy trying to reset for some reason as the most tense moment in ticket history might be happening.
I think he was joking, Coach.
And I'm like trying to play some weird peacemaker formatics guy, and it doesn't belong. I should get out of the way.
I agree with you totally. I think Dan handled it absolutely perfectly. I think I would have done what you did, Bob. I would have gotten nervous and tried to defaulted to resetting. And but as I've heard it so many times over the years, I don't think you could have played it any better, Dan. I think your responses were perfect.
Really?
I think the way you handled it was perfect because his reaction, his turn, his 180 mid-interview was so bizarre. I mean, do you guys to this day understand why he turned on you?
And I think it was literally 2 minutes in.
Yeah.
Or 3 minutes.
Very
because
quickly.
Because he then walked away and here we are with like the rest of a segment in front of us.
And then, yeah, because he had just told the story about Burt Reynolds posing for Playgirl.
It's like it's
Cosmopolitan.
Cosmopolitan, yeah. Okay. But
like,
it was.
What do we say? Bob Knight has like a set list of when he goes on these speaking engagements. You could tell he's a guy who's been asked to speak at places for 20 years and he just had his regular stories. So he was just churning out, okay, here's my Burt Reynolds was my roommate story. We probably led with that.
Yeah. We didn't care what he thought about college football. We wanted to talk to him about Burt Reynolds, right?
Busy with Lee Corso here.
It might have been his first story, was just talking about how he would almost, he might have been talking about picking up sloppy seconds. Like Burt Reynolds had so many. Well, he didn't say that, but he
that's something
insinuated
that,
don't
say, and,
that Burt Reynolds had so many women around that he could, grab the ones who didn't get lucky enough to go in Burt's room.
Boy, and we have heard this so many times. Gordo and I have.
That's all we talk. We talk in drops from this.
Yeah.
Exchange.
And it drives Junior crazy a lot of times. But we have turned Lee Corso into, and that's something that I wouldn't do. And that just kind of a real, just totally taking his voice.
I'm just sure that help you.
But speaking of voices, I think this was up for e-break that week, and I'm pretty sure it won. It had to have won, right?
It's tough to win on e-break.
Yeah.
It's tough to go into Lambeau and get a win.
I'm pretty sure y'all won that week. And I remember we all laughed because Dan, and I totally understand it, I've had it before too, when you have your show just disintegrating in front of you, you get nervous and you get shake voice. And Dan, you said you listened to it last night. Did you detect the shake voice?
Yeah, if Bob was saying I did everything perfect, I don't know. I feel like I was a bit nervous there.
Really?
Maybe, upon listening again. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because all of a sudden you got a guest on, and
I,
he's really ticked, and he's about to walk off.
Just have a good day, then.
You know, I would just say this, though. Even the e-break experience back then, like when you're just starting at the ticket.
You hope you don't.
Yeah, you don't want to win.
We really. The evolution of being on the e-break has definitely changed to where it was you felt Friday morning coming and you felt the humiliation of winning the e-break. But seriously, if you're, and I'm sure this might even be the same for new guys even in 2019. But back then, when you feel like you're hanging on to a opportunity like the ticket, an e-break was not some positive, this is the greatest thing happening to me moment. I remember even hearing like TC and they would get in his kitchen, you know, just a couple years ago. Like e-break rocks people if they're not a musketeer.
Yeah.
Probably don't think about that enough.
There's like five musketeers, but there's
that's three of you.
No, I get those feelings sometimes when I'm up for e-break. Just something. Wrong. I mean, the Paul in.
That one might have had that effect.
And
on
I don't think that was so bad. We didn't even put it up because we still weren't over what had happened.
That was never either, up for an e-break because it's too soon.
Well, we didn't do it for 2 or 3 weeks or so, and then when we did, we thought it was too soon that a guy was talking during the national moment of silence. I mean, that was just wrong.
Gosh, the perfect e-break never won the e-break.
No, I don't think it ever did.
Paul.
All right, and so many drops came out of this, too. The Lee
Corso.
This
happened in February of 05.
Was it? That's what I was finding online, but then
Bob says that, too.
I hope it was 02.
I looked up the SMU archives, and I'm pretty sure it's 02, but
Okay. Of course, he goes there every year, doesn't he?
Forum luncheon.
Yeah,
right?
He started doing every year several years later. But his initial, and usually that's like the Dope Walker at Night thing. We had him on in middays because he was the actual guest of honor that time, and I believe that was spring of 2002. But anyway,
okay,
all right. So many drops have come out of this visit between Bad Radio and Lee Corso. Here's a couple of our favorites.
You are a jerk. No, you are a big jerk. I think that was very sarcastic, and I don't appreciate it. My pleasure. Next question.
A shot? Really? We're having fun here, no?
Oh, I forgot we're having fun here, no. Heck, that was a ticket CD, was it not?
Yeah, I think so.
We're having fun here, no?
We're having fun here, no?
Listen how high the voice is on that.
And the most mimic drop that came out of it, I think, for me anyway, is really, because...
Really?
That is almost, I think that is my favorite part of the whole thing, because that's where it starts going sideways, and Dan...
And I'm not joking.
Really?
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 We're going to stop and start it here in a second, but just play the beginning of the interview so we can hear the Dan really in context.
One thing led to another. Then he calls me up about a year later and said, "You ain't going to believe what I'm going to do." I said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I'm posing naked." I said, "You what?" He said, "Yeah, I'm posing naked in Cosmopolitan." I said, "You're crazy." He said, "I got to do something, man. I'm starving." What happens, if you remember, he was the first guy basically to ever pose nude with a cigarette in his mouth in Cosmopolitan. And one thing led to another. Gunsmoke led to this thing. And, you know, and pretty soon, Dan August, he became a detective. And one thing led to another. And he became, at one time, Burt Reynolds was the leading movie star in the world 5 straight years.
And not a lot of people know this, but Lee Corso was actually the second person to pose nude, correct? Or did I read that wrong?
I think you read that one wrong.
I won't even give you next question.
You laid out nicely.
But I think that was very sarcastic, and I don't appreciate it. And I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah, because why would you say that?
Okay, here? All right, hold it a second. Really?
I believe we do have indisputable evidence. It's February of 2005.
See, okay.
I will stand down. Okay. I will stand down. Somebody actually transcribed it, and there's a date stamp on there. So
that's my 15-year guess. That's
well,
what
you were right.
That's
on.
What it
it's
felt
so
like to me.
Funny to look at this transcript.
So I guess I
of course
have no,
so.
They probably think you're a jerk. .. You are a jerk.
I guess I don't have an excuse for being insecure. Maybe yeah, that's right. Just me.
So just right there at that moment,
really?
What are you guys thinking? When he takes that dramatic turn, what is the first thought in your mind? Are you thinking he's joking?
Yes, 100%.
It's so Joe Pesci
at first,
and
yes.
Goodfellas.
Like he was at first,
fine.
He's just got this great dry sense of humor. He kept on. He was serious.
Because that wouldn't be that uncommon, though, for someone to sit down. They just did a banquet, and now they sit down with us. And, yeah, it's
just
time to
around.
Let's
We're
yank the
fun.
Chain of the radio guys for a few seconds here, and then we'll have a nice visit. You know, you either have super friendly or guys who want to do bits. You never have openly hostile college football guy.
Right.
Like, that's not even in the
guy
cards.
Who puts the duck head on and does all sorts of funny bits.
Right. He's known for bits.
Yes.
Right.
McDowell, we're having fun here. You're telling us funny stories about Burt Reynolds, and now, all of a sudden, I'm a big jerk.
That's my favorite line from the whole bit, is you're telling us funny stories about Burt Reynolds.
You're telling us funny stories about Burt Reynolds, and all of a sudden, I'm a big jerk.
All right, I'll tell you what. We've got the whole thing coming up next. We're gonna listen to it. We're gonna listen to it in its entirety. We're gonna stop and start, and we'll get Bad Radio's take on what was happening as it was unfolding. The Lee Corso interview next. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary all year long with special segments like the one we're in the middle of right now with Bob and Dan from Bad Radio joining us in studio. As we relive the top 25 moments in ticket history as voted on by the P1, and number 5 in the voting was the Bob and Dan interview with Lee Corso, the famous ESPN college football analyst. And we're going to give the full thing a listen now. We're going to be able to stop and start it because I think we'll probably want to do this about 10,000 times during the interview because there are so many interesting moments. So why don't we just let it roll, and anytime you guys want to stop it and ask Bob and Dan a question, or if you guys want to stop it and point something out, feel free.
One thing led to another. Then he calls me up about a year later and said, you ain't going to believe what I'm going to do. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm posing naked. I said, you what? He said, yeah, I'm posing naked in Cosmopolitan. I said, you're crazy. He said, I got to do something, man. I'm starving. What happens, if you remember, he was the first guy basically to ever pose.
Did Bob really think that was that funny?
A little bit of nervous laughter
support,
there.
Support laughter.
You know, it's, so it wasn't real laughter. It was support laughter.
I would say a very underlying theme to the Bob and Dan show over the years is me realizing Dan doesn't offer any support laughter. And so I have to double up sometimes to help support the guest along.
Can I point something else out, too? So you're interviewing Lee Corso at the SMU Athletic Forum 15 years ago. He is kind of seen as the joke guy among college football studio guys, right? He puts the funny hats on.
Yeah.
And now he's started off the interview by telling you guys kind of a funny, non-football-y story.
Right.
Yeah.
So everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
And you, story.
Yeah, you think you've got a guy that you can joke with.
Absolutely.
That's why this is so weird, what you're about to hear.
First guy basically to ever pose nude with a cigarette in his mouth in Cosmopolitan. And one thing led to another. Gunsmoke led to this thing. And, you know, and pretty soon, Dan August, he became a detective. And one thing led to another. And he became, at one time, Burt Reynolds was the leading movie star in the world. 5 straight years.
And not a lot of people know this, but Lee Corso was actually the second person to pose nude. Correct? Or did I read that wrong?
I think you read that one wrong.
I won't even, tell you what, I won't even give you the next question.
You laid out nicely.
But I think that was very sarcastic, and I don't appreciate it. And I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah. Because why would you say that?
I'm not kidding. He doubled down with that.
Well, he was disturbed.
We weren't really sure.
He was disturbed by his giggling, and he wanted to make it clear.
Yeah,
this is not a giggle moment.
You were thinking he's just having fun, and we're all just. But the I'm not kidding turned everything.
Right.
We turned on a dime there.
And I'm not kidding.
And Dan sounded pretty confident in his joke as he's delivering it. No shake voice.
No, fine.
Everything's going well.
Yeah. It's a funny joke, by the way.
The show's working out for everyone.
It's funny imagining Lee
Corso.
We're going
to be here for another 30 years at the station.
Being photographed in the nude.
And I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah. Because why would you say that here
because
with people?
Because it's somewhat funny, no?
It isn't funny. It's funny.
It's not funny at all?
No, it's not funny at all. In fact, the people out there that don't know me would say, what kind of jerk is this guy?
Well, wouldn't you think most people listening might know me?
That's
better?
A bit cocky.
They probably think you're a jerk.
And realize that
you are a
might
jerk.
Be a funny statement?
Well, I think it was a sarcastic
okay, hold on. And Jared, if you can back it up a few seconds right. So we can hear all this stuff again. But all right, so that's a great point, Dan. Don't you think most of the people listening know me and my sense of humor and whatnot? And then he immediately goes on the offensive and calls you a big jerk.
Yeah, they think you're
Well, no, he didn't immediately. He said that they might think that you're a big jerk.
You are a big jerk.
And then he pauses and then realizes, well, you are a big jerk. I love that little moment of realization in Lee's mind.
And how did that make you feel when he said you are a big jerk?
Now we're right in the middle of bullets are flying left and right.
Yeah.
I didn't really know I was. I didn't know what we were doing here.
Yeah.
You've just seen this is so out
of be a fight
out of nowhere. Yeah, this,
you've got heart rate going 200 beats per minute. You got shallow breath going.
And I'm sure our relationship is part of this too. Me and Bob trying to look. We're trying to hang on at the ticket.
Yeah,
and we want to please each other. And if big sports guest is now mad at us, maybe I'm worried that Bob is upset at how this is going, because
we definitely would turn on each other far more frequently back then.
And
we might not have been in the same bunker at all times.
And are you also
you had
thinking,
adjacent bunkers?
Right.
Are you also thinking we're at the SMU Forum? They paid for this remote.
Yeah.
He's going to be mad. Get the
client,
station out of here.
Yeah, I don't know that all that went through my mind in a half second, but it was. Just like I said, the bullets are flying now. And I'm in an uncharted territory that I did not expect to be in. And that's why kind of incredulous, and I didn't feel
did
it as really funny. I said it was maybe somewhat funny. Maybe. Not.
Did you consider not defending yourself and just laying down, or did you feel like you couldn't because you were being attacked so much?
I would think that the latter there, like you couldn't just back, because he kept going.
Yeah.
You know, at first, we gave him a chance to, I guess, back off right in the beginning and be like, ah, you know, don't worry about it. But he was offended. He was offended that somebody would even insinuate this. And
which seems so ridiculous.
It is a pretty jerky thing to insinuate, though, isn't it?
Well, upon listening again,
yeah. You're a big jerk. All right, let's pick it back up where the bullets are flying.
People out there that don't know me would say, what kind of jerk is this guy?
Well, wouldn't you think most people listening might know me better?
They probably think you're a jerk.
And realize that
you are a
might
jerk.
Be a,
in fact, you know what? Now I've pondered it. And
you think he's right.
They probably think you're... Wait, you know what? Upon further reflection, you are a jerk. You are a jerk.
Like he was trying to find something really hurtful to say to you, so he ramped it up from people might think you're a jerk to, yeah. You know what? You are a jerk.
I'm ready to make that statement.
I'm ready to commit this. Now. I'm ready to commit.
I was actually research and
little moment of genius by Lee Corso. That was his best moment of the interview.
Like, you're a big jerk. In fact, you are a big jerk.
In fact, I'm going to double down here.
People out there that don't know me would say, what kind of jerk is this guy?
Well, wouldn't you think most people listening might know me better?
They probably think you're a jerk.
And realize that
you are a
might
jerk.
Be a funny statement?
Well, I think it was a sarcastic statement.
Sure it was.
I'm on your show to try to help you.
Yeah, and we're having fun here, no? You're telling us funny stories about Burt Reynolds, but, and now all of a sudden it's I'm a big jerk.
Yeah, you are a big jerk because of the fact you take a shot at me.
A shot?
All right, so... Because,
yes!
There's like 17 drops there.
Yeah.
I'm on your show to try to help you.
On your show to try to help you.
Because that's what he does.
Who is
a
that?
Philanthropist. He's a show horse radio philanthropist.
He's the show helper.
He could sense we were dying, and he needed to come over to the table and save
show
the show.
To try to help you.
The Tony Bennett we've turned it into?
That's right.
Yeah.
On your show to try to help you.
Cisco. Tell you about San Francisco.
That's got to be the most power-packed 15 seconds of the whole
show. Yeah. So many drops in there.
You just couldn't believe that he would classify that as a shot.
Yeah, it's one thing to be a jerk.
The disbelief
thing
in your voice.
Right.
A shot?
This audio could use some video, too, because I think here I'm under the table now. I've tucked,
fetal position.
Tucked and covered.
I like how courageous, morally courageous Bob is in this.
Well,
when he takes this strong stand for Dan and says... I think he was joking. You really stood up to him there.
So you're going to hear, and this is probably just drummed into our heads, right? You have to do a reset at some point.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, yeah. Before what station are we even listening to right now?
Before right. Bob's reset, you will hear a lot of attempts, feints to try and get in the game.
Yeah, he, getting in there. Because Bob was scared.
You'll hear breaths.
People weren't interested in what was going on, so he needed to reset. And...
In fact, they probably need the map score from last night now that I think about it.
Might be a funny statement.
Well, I think it was a sarcastic statement.
Sure it was.
I'm on your show to try to help you.
And we're having fun here, no? You're telling us funny stories about Burt Reynolds, and now all of a sudden it's I'm a big jerk.
No, you are a big jerk because of the fact you take a shot at me.
A shot?
Yes, because you inferred the fact that I pose naked.
And how is that a shot?
Because that's against what I would do.
And it's not a joke, then? Wouldn't
not
that be the irony of the whole situation?
Not to me.
Wait, stop it here. One of the things that drives me nuts about Lee Corso is this inferred, implied thing. He's got that wrong, and he keeps doubling down on that. And then when Dan attempts that, wouldn't that be the irony?
Yeah, it was like I was reading it.
It's like you're a Rivershawn player on this part.
And how is that a shot?
Because that's against what I would do.
And it's not a joke, then? Wouldn't
not
that be the irony of the whole situation?
Not to me.
That Lee Corso certainly wouldn't do that. Burt Reynolds would.
Shake voice.
But I just don't. I don't really understand where this is coming from.
It's
here.
Your show.
All right, this is Lee Corso with us.
All right, so yeah, this is my favorite part. One of my favorite parts is.
Would you show
as if that's responsive to anything that's just been said.
But now there's this showdown where no one's talking. What am I supposed to do here?
Right, that's the thing. And
that's a good reset, Bob. I think you're okay there.
We all don't like silence, or you're trained to not like silence,
I should have embraced it, shouldn't I? I should be rubbing my hands together, and instead I'm giving the stupid call letters.
But who talks first if you don't?
I wondered, might this
Here
be the last
have,
sound on the
we
station?
We have two gunfighters looking at each other in the middle of the street. This is tension.
I need to stay
Let
out of it.
Let it breathe.
Right, I know.
You didn't have in the Old West someone stepping in the middle of the street to once again identify where we're at in this gunfight. We're here in Tempe, Arizona. We hope everyone's enjoying this.
I think he's about to shoot him. Hang on a second.
We are going to see what's going to happen here.
Well, I don't really understand where this is coming from here.
It's your show.
All right, this is Lee Corso with us. I think he was joking, Coach.
But, well, I don't appreciate people taking shots and joking at my expense when I don't do that to anybody else.
Well, I think that's real silly.
Shallow breath.
Well,
I really do. I don't think that you should be offended at all.
Okay.
And I thought we were sitting here laughing and having a good time.
Well, not at my expense.
At your expense?
Yeah.
I really don't understand how you would say it was at your expense either.
Because of the fact, did you infer to the people out there who don't know me, okay, that I would pose naked and do something like that?
Well, I guess I should just thank you for stopping by then.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Coach. Well, thanks very much.
Okay, my pleasure.
All right.
Thanks for having me on.
How sincere was he when he said, my pleasure?
Thanks for having me on.
Y'all've got another 17 minutes scheduled for this interview.
What did y'all do after that? After he left? Because I've never heard that.
Did y'all dissect the audio right afterwards?
Well, I don't know about dissect the audio, but we definitely tried to figure out what just happened. And then, I don't know if you remember this, Dan, but we were on to something else probably 30 minutes later.
I know what you're going to say.
And he walked back and wanted to say something, I think, to me off the air. And I don't remember the specifics of the conversation, but he definitely felt compelled to double back over to the table.
I don't remember him talking to you, but I remember him walking by and giving us a thumbs up and smiling like, hey, old friends that we were on with.
Like he wanted to make it right?
No.
Or smooth it over?
Or like we just
like that he didn't even remember it happened or something? Or
That's weird.
I don't know. It was very weird. He just gave a positive thumbs up and a smile at us and waved like he was with his aunt, you know, the people.
Yeah, maybe that was it. I
heard Bob went over to him and said, hey, man, sorry about that.
I hope this doesn't ruin anything between
you
us.
And I, you and I were totally on board with each other.
I could do a segment on game day if you want me to.
Do you know the proximity between this and kind of making Peyton Manning mad in the same exact setting?
Wait, y'all made Peyton Manning mad?
I don't remember that
one. Hear
somewhere
about this
in the
one.
Same few years.
Do you have that?
How'd you make Peyton mad?
It definitely hasn't been taken over by the abusers. Like the fact we're on your show right now, we have so little on our show. We can't do voices. We don't have famous siblings on. We don't do anything.
That's a shot.
The fact that you guys, the fact that this is actually your show's audio now is amazing. How have you done this?
I don't know.
Like we're a guest on your show to break down the audio.
Do y'all never play this?
Not nearly as much as you do. We've definitely seeded.
We play music fights.
Yeah. It'll be in an opener, too.
We'll have you on for working up a fake Wade audio someday.
Is the we don't even do it anymore? Is that from the Wade fight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that was from the Michael Irvin fight.
Oh, yeah, it was.
That was from that one.
That one got a t-shirt made. I don't think Lee Corso's ever got a t-shirt made.
We are super late. Oh, Jared, did you find the Maple Deli players? Okay. Do you want to listen to that?
Yeah.
Can you guys stay one more segment?
I mean, we're here for the show at noon.
We're here to help you. Here to help us. I mean, awesome. It's our show.
Thought maybe you had some charity work after this between now and when your show starts.
Literally nothing.
All right, more Bob and Dan next. Yes, and we're celebrating that time that Bob and Dan squared off with Lee Corso from ESPN at the SMU Athletic
Club. Do you guys remember that?
I do now. Now that we've, because I'd almost forgotten all about that.
See,
we had played in a good 2 weeks, I think.
We'd never had the guts to stand up to Lee Corso. Did you guys know going into that interview that y'all were going to stand up to him?
Someone had to.
I don't think I did, to be honest.
Finally, someone stood up to Lee Corso. And then Bad Radio took it to the next level. Back at our old building over in Rivershawn, we had a a place where we could go eat called the Maple Deli. And they had some interesting characters working behind the counter.
We made some friends.
And because Bob and Dan can be big jerks, they thought it'd be a good idea to have that conflict that we just heard between Lee Corso and Bad Radio read as a play. Maple Deli.
What was the conceit here?
I don't think
this?
He understands the flimsy premise, Dan. Do you? What happened is we went down there one day to get our Cobb salad.
Oh, okay.
And they're big fans of the station.
Oh, okay.
And so they had worked up a little bit of a community theater, is how I remember it. Isn't that, Dan?
During their time off, they all get a half hour off each day. So the maintenance crew and people around that building, Rivershawn Plaza, had a little lunchtime theater. Yeah, they would put on little productions out in the courtyard.
Who and knew? So talked him into doing
you guys
this.
Would bully them with we your white, get,
look,
with your white with privilege. To
we used to lay out this flimsy premise, and I had a guy from Channel 8 call me. He wanted to come film there. He thought it was a great community.
What time are they doing it?
Yeah, he thought they actually did, because we started with Star Wars bits.
Yeah.
And they would just do scenes from famous movies. But after they had run through enough movies, they ran out of movies. And then they said, well, what about things that have happened on the ticket?
A local cafe has an interest in community theater.
And yeah, so that's where this came
matter,
from, George. We just happened upon them,
yeah, I didn't
and we stuck
that
a microphone
right.
in
yeah, we,
one day.
We just by chance, we went down there one day, and they were
we didn't tell them to do this.
And you guys would just make fun of their accents and stuff?
No.
Well, maybe we should play it first, and then you go ahead and,
okay. All right, Jared,
and
play a big fan and
derail it all. Yeah.
Play a big fanfare and then play the Maple Deli players and the Lee Corso conflict.
Luke Perry.
I won't even give you next question. I think that's very sarcastic, and I don't appreciate it. And I'm not kidding.
Really?
Why would you say that? It's not funny at all. The people out there that don't know me would say what kind of a jerk this guy is.
Well, wouldn't you think most people out there listening know me?
They probably think you're a jerk. You're a jerk.
We're having fun here. You are telling us funny stories about Burt Reynolds, and now all of a sudden I am a big jerk?
You're a big jerk because the fact that you take a shot at me, because you interfere with the fact that I post naked.
How is that a shot?
Because that's against what I do.
And that's a not joke then? The irony of the whole situation. Lee Corso certainly wouldn't do that. Burt Reynolds would.
Not to me. I don't appreciate people taking shots at and joking at my expense.
That's all we have of it? That's so great.
Man, I remember the first time I heard that about wet my pants.
That was Agnes.
That was
very nice lady.
She was so nice.
Toasted her.
Is the Maple Deli still open?
Jettic.
Yeah, there's still an eatery there. It's not called the Maple Deli anymore. It's a lot nicer, too.
How could it
How
be
How in the world would you know this?
Because they've redone that whole building. Because I went up to visit our
Heritage.
Friends with Heritage Auctions. It's still in the building. And so I was just in there a couple months ago.
How's the Cobb salads looking?
I didn't have one.
Turkey burger? Toasted?
Toasted or no toasted?
No toasted. Luke Perry.
Oh, man. You guys are the best.
What?
Bad radio.
Go in the water.
Okay, here's these two.
Witty banter.
Witty banter.
Witty banter.
Witty banter.
They are obsessed with
Nathan for you.
Nathan for you.
Yeah. It's a great show. You guys
should
watch it.
It's been off the air for 3 years, but
it doesn't matter.
They
it's still real to me,
discovered
damn it.
It, and they cannot get over it. It is funny.
It isn't.
And it's
it is too. Goat in the water.
And it's right up your alley, Dan. I think you think it's really
not.
Funny. You like bits.
Oh, Luke Perry.
I don't know why you keep saying that. Are you about to do a Luke Perry story?
No. No, I just think that we just need to keep it in perspective. I mean, we're here laughing and having
the
a good time.
The whole Corso thing? Okay.
But man, we're having the best
taken
time.
Taken from us too soon.
But seriously.
Yeah, number chips. Five
but seriously,
of
Luke Perry.
All time. All this nonsense.
All
for
of the tickets
years.
History.
Wow.
And this is number five, Bad Radio squaring off with Lee Corso.
We salute you.
Yes. You
thank
guys
you.
Are the best.
What well, sort of medal do you get for fifth?
Wood.
Paper.
Gold, silver, wood. Bronze, titanium, wood? Wood.
And an abortion.
Oh, my God.
Oh, geez. Hold on, Norm.
That's what you get?
You get an RFPD.
No one knows what that is. All right, thanks.
Rigid female pleasure device.
Thanks, Dan. Whoa. Thanks, Bob, for driving in
now
here
we know.
Early.
Thanks, guys.
On the show to do this.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
It's just kids stuff.
We would have been here anyway.
It's just kids stuff.
Sure. We
you
like to
get
in early.
About, yeah, about 8:30.
A little prep. Dan, you're sitting next to me. I just really need some relief.
Okay, you need to get over that show.
We're going to take some scooters on the Katy Trail now, if you guys don't mind.
All right, or stick around for the corner if
y'all watched the Duck.
All right, Applehead.
Stop it.
Thanks, Doo-Doo Head.
Thanks, little one.
Look at him laughing. Look how pleased he is. He's so pleased with himself.
You just asked for relief. So
you
called
break,
the
Applehead?
I'm in.
Dan's
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, it's 9:08 here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Ooh, reset.
He's resetting.
Reset Bob. All right.